Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Thursday, October 4th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
A bond sell-off sends Treasury yields to the highest level since 2011.
That rise in yields and a strong dollar triggers widespread declines in equities.
And while markets in China remain closed, that country's currency continues its slide.
A Senate vote on Brett Kavanaugh moves closer.
I'm filing cloture on Judge Kavanaugh's nomination.
Senators today will review an FBI report. I'm John Tucker. The story is straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees are moving on. They beat the A's 7-2 in the wild card playoff game at the stadium. They'll play the Red Sox starting tomorrow in Boston.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good Thursday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by USCF. Invest in what's real. Visit USCFinvestments.com. That's USCFinvestments.com.
Karen, we begin with a breaking Bloomberg News exclusive. Word that China used a tiny computer chip to hack nearly 30 U.S. companies, including Amazon and Apple. Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Bloomberg News has learned Chinese hacking chips were implanted on motherboards sold by Supermicro Computer, one of the world's largest suppliers. Intelligence and corporate sources tell us that those chips were used to access networks used by the hacked machines. Now, government sources call this hack, which is still under investigation and hasn't been officially acknowledged, the most significant supply chain attack known to have been carried out against American companies. Amazon and Apple discovered these chips in 2015, reported them to U.S. authorities, but so far no consumer data is known to have been stolen. When reached for comment, Amazon, Apple, and Supermicro disputed this report. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, Amy. That report is the cover story for this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. We're going to have much more on this exclusive when we speak with Bloomberg News or Bloomberg Business Week editor Joel Weber. He's going to join us in about 15 minutes. Karen.
Well, turning to markets now, a bond sell-off that sent Treasury yields to the highest level since 2011 is spreading to Europe and Asia this morning. It is 6:02 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg, brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. S&P futures are down about 13 points. Dow futures down 104. NASDAQ futures down 47. The DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. CAC in Paris down 1%. So is the FTSE 100. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.6%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 1.7%. 10-year Treasury down 0.8, yield 3.21%. Yield on the two-year, 2.88%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.1% or 11 cents to $76.30 a barrel. Nathan.
Karen, with dollar strength and Treasury yields climbing to the highest level since 2011, Federal Reserve Chairman Jay Powell is continuing to beat the drum for gradual interest rate increases.
Interest rates are still accommodative, but we're gradually moving to a place where they will be neutral. Not that they'll be restraining the economy. We may go past neutral, but we're a long way from neutral at this point, probably.
In his fourth public appearance over the past week, Powell heaped praise on the U.S. economy. He calls it remarkably positive, extraordinary, and particularly bright.
Money market traders are now pricing in more than two rate increases next year, while the Fed's projections call for three hikes. Bloomberg Markets reporter Wes Goodman.
The path of least resistance for the Fed is going to be to raise rates. The path of least resistance for bond yields is going to keep rising. Right now, what we're seeing is the sell-off spread. Treasuries just took another leg down, and Australian bonds are down, and Japan bonds are down, and yields are up, and there are inflation pressures. So it's all a big backdrop for the Fed to keep raising interest rates and for bond yields to keep rising.
And again, checking the 10-year Treasury yield right now at 3.21%.
That spike in yields put pressure on stocks, bonds, and currencies in Asia today. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has details from Singapore.
10-year Japanese government bond yields climbed past 0.15% toward the upper end of the Bank of Japan's tolerance zone. The Nikkei 225 closed down 0.6%, while the Hang Seng retreated for its third session of the week, taking total losses since last Friday to around 4%. The South Korean won and Thai baht led Asian currency declines as the dollar strengthened for a sixth session. And while China's markets remained shut, the yuan slid past 6.9 to the dollar in offshore trading. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Salih, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. A record high reading on activity in the U.S. services sector and a strong private payroll report from ADP helped drive Treasury yields higher yesterday. Today, we get the government's weekly report on jobless claims and Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
We're counting down to Friday's monthly employment report, and today's data on jobless claims will help set the stage. They've been running at record lows. We're talking close to 50 years. But the impact of Hurricane Florence on the Atlantic seaboard could influence the labor market data, as is typical of natural disasters. Also on today's calendar, factory orders, including final figures on August durable goods. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thanks. In Italy, the government is set to unveil the economic growth forecasts that underpin its budget plans. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The release comes 5 days after the projections were due to be published. That says Italy set next year's budget deficit target at 2.4% of economic output, with a commitment to reduce it in 2020 and the following year. It's a partial concession to the EU after it pressured Finance Minister Giovanni Tria to contain the ruling coalition's spending requests. Tria had been fighting a rearguard action inside the coalition government, with Luigi Di Maio and his fellow Deputy Premier Matteo Salvini demanding more resources to deliver on their election promises. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. U.S. authorities are now investigating a money laundering case involving Denmark's biggest bank. Danske Bank says it's received requests for information from the Justice Department in connection with a criminal investigation. Criminal investigations are already underway in Estonia and Denmark after Danske said more than $200 billion that flowed through its Estonia unit may need to be treated as suspicious. Futures this morning again are falling, with S&P futures down 12 points, Dow futures down 95, NASDAQ futures down 44. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. 6:07 on Wall Street. John Tucker is here with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Nathan. The White House has received the FBI background probe into Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, and the report has been sent to the Senate, where Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is moving ahead with a procedural vote.
There'll be plenty of time for members to review and be briefed on the supplemental material before a Friday cloture vote. So I'm filing cloture on Judge Kavanaugh's nomination this evening so the process can move forward, as I indicated earlier this week.
The report will be available in a secure room for senators to review. There's one copy of the report, and they're going to be able to review it in shifts, going back and forth between Democrats and Republicans hour by hour until all senators who want to review the report have had a chance to do so. Vice President Pence will accuse China of meddling in the 2018 U.S. elections. According to excerpts of a speech he's set to give later today, Pence's speech is scheduled to take place just over a week after President Trump accused China of attempting to meddle. The remarks underscore administration concern that anxiety over the trade battle could hurt Republican performance in midterm congressional elections. In Indonesia, rescue and relief workers are racing against time to find survivors from the deadly earthquake and tsunami that has now claimed 1,424 lives. Let's get an update in this report from Jakarta and Bloomberg's Rika Ranadana.
Power and telecommunication disruptions continue to hamper relief operations, with reports of looting of stores for food and other goods emerging. A volcanic eruption on Mount Saputan on the same island, though about 900 kilometers away, is adding to the sense of panic that struck the region. Authorities are still trying to save as many lives as possible, while also aiding survivors to get back on their feet. In Jakarta, Ricardo Hadena, Bloomberg Daybreak.
One police officer is dead, six others wounded after deputies serving a search warrant in Florence, South Carolina, were ambushed by the man they were looking for. The Florence police chief, Alan Hyder, calls it one of the worst days in the department's history. The dead officer, his friend for three decades.
The bravest police officer that I have ever known.
The suspect held several children hostage before surrendering. And stamps from bond billionaire Bill Gross's collection sold for $10 million in New York last night. That's a record for a single-day auction dedicated to stamps. The 74-year-old Gross has the most complete collection of stamps issued by the U.S. Postal Service. All proceeds from the auctions will go to charity. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Fancy stamps. Thank you, John. 6:09 now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, bring on the Red Sox. Yankees took care of the Oakland A's in the wild card playoff game at the stadium 7-2. Home runs for Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton. Judge early on, nobody out first inning. Stanton in the final at bat in the eighth. A blast that went 443 feet. In between, four runs, sixth inning that broke things open. It was keyed by Luke Voit's two-run triple off the wall in right field. Luis Severino, who started the wild card game last year and had to be taken out in the first inning, this time didn't give up a hit until the fifth. Dellin Betances relieved him, got the win as he worked out of a fifth-inning jam when the score was still 2-0. So now off to Boston for a best-of-five, starting tomorrow at Fenway Park. Aaron Boone, excited.
I think they can't wait, and I think they're ready and relish the opportunity to go up against the game's best this year. And obviously we're very familiar with them. We know how good they are. You know, I mean, we know we have to play our best if we're going to have a chance to beat them. You know, obviously they're very tough at Fenway, but, you know, I think you say the same for them probably. But I know our guys can't wait to get there and try and get it done.
Boone knows a little something about Yankee Red Sox postseason. 15 years ago, he hit a home run to win the pennant from Boston, who avenged that a year later when they made history, lost the first three games, won the next four. That was the last time two arch rivals met in October. NLDS starts today. Atlanta at the Dodgers after Colorado at Milwaukee. Knicks beat the Nets preseason NBA in Brooklyn. Enes Kanter, 22 points, 20 rebounds. Rookie Alonzo Trier scored 25. Rangers and Islanders both begin their regular seasons tonight with the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. Stay with us here on Bloomberg Daybreak. We're going to have more on our Bloomberg Business Week exclusive report, a Chinese attack on the technology supply chain. We'll be speaking again with Bloomberg Businessweek editor Joel Weber. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Sports brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank for business solutions to move your business forward. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 617 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Erin Roman at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Erin.
Good morning, Karen. China attacked U.S. businesses by implanting tiny chips in servers used by companies and the government. That's according to past and present intelligence officials and Apple and Amazon insiders. Jay Powell says the Fed may eventually raise its key rate to a level that restrains growth. He says while rates are still accommodative, they are gradually moving to a place where they'll be neutral. Vice President Mike Pence will accuse China of meddling in the 2018 U.S. elections in a speech today. He will say Beijing used a campaign of propaganda, spies, tariffs, and coercive measures. And in corporate news, Tilray is seeking to raise $400 million from a debt sale as Canada gears up to legalize marijuana this month. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Erin, thank you. S&P futures down 13 points this morning. Dow futures down 96. NASDAQ futures down 44. DAX in Germany down 0.25%. And the 10-year Treasury down 8/32. Yield 3.21%. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. The White House expressing confidence that nothing in a supplemental FBI investigation prompted by the sexual misconduct allegations against Brett Kavanaugh would derail the Supreme Court nominee. Senate Republicans are pressing ahead with plans for a Friday test vote. In Indonesia, rescue and relief workers racing against time to find survivors from the deadly earthquake and tsunami that has now claimed over 1,400 lives. One police officer is dead, six others wounded, after deputies serving a search warrant in Florence, South Carolina, were ambushed by the man they were looking for. Bloomberg Sports, the Yankees beat Oakland in the wild card game. They face Boston tomorrow. In the NHL, the Capitals beat the Bruins. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
John Tucker, thank you so much. We're coming up on 620 on Wall Street Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we're joined again by Joel Weber, editor at Bloomberg Business Week. The cover story in the latest edition, The Big Hack, How China Used a Tiny Chip to Infiltrate Amazon and Apple. What are we talking about here, Joel?
So the story is about something that most people aren't familiar with, which is about hardware hacking. Most of us are familiar with software hacking. That's something that we see in the news, whether it's Equifax or Yahoo. And this is completely different. And it's troubling because of how different it is. So hardware, unlike software, allows different capabilities than what you would be able to do with software. And it's really something that we're that the U.S., the corporate space, no one's looking at this as a vulnerability. And it seems as though, according to our reporting, in 2014 and 2015, which is when the events in the story take place, Chinese spies were able to exploit that vulnerability.
Now, typically when we think of hacking, we think of hackers going into computers to get information. With this hack, were the spies able to get information in the hardware?
So the difference with a hardware attack is that it's about access, not necessarily about data. According to the sources in our story, and again, this was a more than a year-long reporting endeavor, more than 100 sources were interviewed for this, 17 independent with knowledge of the compromise at Supermicro, which is the maker of the server motherboards at the heart of the story. So we feel very confident about that. But a hardware attack, unlike necessarily a software attack, is about access. So according to the sources in the story, this was potentially the first wave of many. The companies that you've mentioned deny that this happened. And we stand by our reporting because of the level of thoroughness that we have.
So what kind of access are they looking to attain?
So the networks that these chips and servers are part of, this is about intellectual property in the corporate space. And because there are some governmental agencies that are also involved, it's also about sensitive government information.
And when you talk about intellectual property, that's a criticism that President Trump and the hawks on the trade front in the Trump administration have talked about, trying to rein in China's malign practices when it comes to theft of intellectual property. Does that put this in a broader context here?
It does a little bit. The trade war has definitely had a larger scope than that, but we've seen the latest rounds of tariffs have specifically gone after computer equipment, not unlike these server motherboards, the networking hardware being the specific way it's mentioned. The implications of this are obviously huge. This story, the exclusive reporting that we're bringing out here, has not been told before, right? So once you understand this, it sort of helps inform perhaps some of the dialogue that we're hearing.
Now, when you talk about companies like Amazon and Apple, of course, Amazon owns Amazon Web Services, which provides much of the underpinnings of the internet. I mean, are we talking about a hack of that scale?
So we don't know, right? So we can only say what's in the story. What we know is that Supermicro was vulnerable. Supermicro, at the time of the attack in 2015, was used by as many as 900 companies. We're not saying that all of those companies were affected. Almost 30, according to our sources. Amazon acquired a company that's very interesting called Elemental in 2015. Elemental used Supermicro. So it speaks to the vastness of the supply chain, right? Where a little piece of equipment comes from China, gets plugged into this other company, gets plugged into this other company. The companies, again, I want to make clear, they issue statements which accompany the article denying that this happened. So that's on one side. We have to buttress that with the strength of our reporting. And the sources that we use who are independent, we feel incredibly confident in them, and they independently check out.
Just quickly, those denials notwithstanding, has anything been done to try to react to this, to firm up the security vulnerabilities that have been exploited here?
So what's interesting is Amazon and Apple, we report, according to our sources, that they became aware of this and actually solved the problem. What's interesting is how difficult that actually is.
And we're we're
looking for pieces of hardware that look about the size of a grain of rice.
Yeah.
You need X-ray machines to get those.
Yeah, and a very extensive reporting in Bloomberg Business Week. Joel Weber, thank you so much. This is Daybreak. It's still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. We're going to check the markets and bring you the latest business headlines and continue our coverage of this exclusive Bloomberg Business Week story on the big hack. Hardware hacks. This is Daybreak.
Broadcasting live from the Interactive Broker Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. A Bloomberg News exclusive. Sources tell us China used a tiny computer chip to hack nearly 30 U.S. companies, including Amazon and Apple. Bloomberg's Jordan Robertson reports.
A unit of China's People's Liberation Army implanted malicious microchips on computer servers bound for U.S. companies. Now, those computer servers wound up in very targeted, very large companies, including Apple and Amazon. And what these malicious chips did was compromise the software on these hardware devices at the kind of level that you can't detect. It's in many ways the ultimate silent attack. And this was a very major discovery for these companies and for U.S. intelligence services.
Now, this hack is still under investigation. It has not been officially acknowledged, but government sources say it is the most significant supply chain attack known to have been carried out against American companies.
The bond sell-off that sent benchmark Treasury yields to the highest level since 2011 is spreading to Asia and Europe. The dollar is stronger, while U.S. futures, European equities, and stocks in Asia are all lower. Right now, the yield on the 10-year Treasury is at 3.20%.
Yesterday's record high reading on activity in the U.S. services sector and strong private payroll data help drive Treasury yields higher. Today, we get the government's weekly report on jobless claims. That's coming out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. That'll be followed at 10 by factory orders for durable goods.
And across the Atlantic, Greece is considering creating bad loan vehicles after a rout in bank stocks stoked concern about the health of the country's financial system. This according to sources who tell Bloomberg the plan calls for Greece to create an asset protection scheme under which lenders would unload bad loans into special purpose vehicles.
It is 6:32 on Wall Street. Time for the Volatility Index report brought to you by Cboe. The VIX fell yesterday to close at 11.61. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently at 12.97. That is this morning's Volatility Report.
And futures again lower. S&P futures down 13 points. Dow futures down 100. NASDAQ futures down 46. The DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. The CAC in Paris down more than 1%, so is the FTSE 100. 10-year Treasury down 7/32nds, yield 3.20%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.88%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.2% or 16 cents to $76.26 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed at $1,202.60 an ounce. The euro is at $1.1497 and the yen at 114.33. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
It is 6:33 on Wall Street. The news update is brought to you by the accounting and advisory firm Eisner Amper. Are you experiencing tax turbulence like most businesses? For a tax diagnostic and to connect to resources you need, visit EisnerAmper.com/tax turbulence. John Tucker's got more of what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Nathan. A Senate vote on Brett Kavanaugh moving closer. Senators today will review an FBI report on the Supreme Court nominee in a secure room. The latest in this report from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
There are also reports that it finished without talking with either Dr. Christine Blasey Ford or Judge Brett Kavanaugh. Bloomberg's Shannon Pennypiece says it apparently has limited later claims as well.
A lot of these claims people are making now that Kavanaugh drank excessively and mischaracterized his drinking when he was in high school in his testimony before Congress, that those don't fit into the scope of what the FBI is looking at.
The White House has said that the testimony at the hearings is sufficient in San Francisco. I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The full Senate preparing to weigh in on Kavanaugh's nomination with an initial vote on Friday. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell on the floor of the Senate yesterday.
Mr. President, what is the pending business?
The nomination of Brett M. Kavanaugh to be an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court.
I send a cloture motion to the desk for the Kavanaugh nomination.
In setting the voting process in motion, McConnell is likely to call for a final vote over the weekend. Experts say President Trump could be on the hook for tens of millions of dollars in civil fines if authorities for New York State and the federal government substantiate the New York Times report that found he and his family cheated the IRS for decades. The Times says Trump received at least $413 million from his father over the decades, much of that through dubious tax maneuvers. And five law enforcement officers in South Carolina have been shot. One is dead. The suspect in custody. It happened at a home in a residential neighborhood yesterday afternoon as investigators attempted to serve a search warrant. The suspect opened fire, striking three deputies and a number of city police officers. The Florence County Sheriff Kenny Boone says the suspect kept firing as officers tried to rescue the wounded, so a bulletproof vehicle was used to get them out.
Thanks to, you know, our MRAP, armored personnel carrier, we made sure that all the officers that were shot were protected and brought for medical attention.
At Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, John. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, second year in a row, third time in the last four, a one-game American League wildcard playoff in the Bronx. Yanks lost this game back in 2015, won it last year. Last night's game with Oakland could not have started better. Luis Severino, very shaky in his wildcard start a year ago, but dominant early on, and then in the bottom of the first.
There's the 2-1 to Judge. Swung on. There it goes, deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. A Judgian blast. Aaron Judge hit one over the auxiliary scoreboard, over the grandstand, into the bleachers. All rise. Here comes the Judge.
Of course, John Sterling, WFAN. Stay 2-0 till the sixth. Yanks scored four times. Luke Voit, two-run triple. Giancarlo Stanton with a solo shot, a long one in the eighth, and the Yanks beat the A's 7-2. Severino didn't allow a hit until the fifth inning. Even he gave up two. He got replaced by Dellin Betances. He worked out of a 2-1, nobody out jam. He got the win. So here we go, Yankees and Red Sox. This will be the first time the two arch rivals have met in a best-of-five division series. But, of course, plenty of history. This past Tuesday was the 40th anniversary of the Bucky Dent home run. 25 years after that came the pennant-winning homer by the current Yankee manager, Aaron Boone. Last time they met in October was in 04. The Red Sox came from 3-0 down and got their revenge. NLDS starts today. Colorado at Milwaukee, then Atlanta at Los Angeles. NHL season underway. Washington Capitals hoisted the banner. Beat Boston 7-0. Rangers tonight host Nashville. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashow. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It is 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
Sometimes Brexit seems like it might subsume British public life entirely. So credit is due to Prime Minister Theresa May, who tried to articulate a broader agenda at her party's annual conference. Regrettably, her policies were a mix of modest improvements and ambitious mistakes. Britain's problems include weak wage growth and sluggish productivity. Years of austerity have degraded public services. Soaring housing costs have led to rising indebtedness, while persistent inequality has broadened the appeal of populism. But most of May's proposed solutions were timid, and where she was boldest, her ideas would likely make things worse. Her immigration plan, for instance, would curb the number of low-skilled workers able to enter the UK. Yet more damaging is her refusal to have a second Brexit referendum. The 2016 Brexit vote was, among other things, an expression of voters' simmering discontent with the British economy. It demanded a bold response from the government. It still does. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. New data indicate big institutions are twice as likely as individual investors to back shareholder advocacy on environmental and social issues. Nancy Lyons has details on that from our Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Social issues seem to matter more these days to large investors.
Support has gone up to almost 29% on average this year, and that's compared to individual investors where about 16% of them have voted in favor of advocacy on these issues.
Bloomberg Law's Andrea Vittorio says several issues seem to be gaining the most attention.
This year, the top three topics were climate change, political spending, and gender. So it seems like these are issues that are here to stay.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. It is 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
Wind farms have become so lucrative that the Dutch government plans to charge developers for the right to build projects. The move would go beyond erasing subsidies for clean energy and turn wind farms into a moneymaker for the government, similar to the way the oil industry pays for permits to drill. The Dutch government hasn't yet determined how much it will be able to charge. The plan is the latest indication of the offshore wind industry's maturity and ability to stand on its own feet. In many countries, the technology is still largely subsidized by governments. So far, it's only in Germany and the Netherlands that subsidies for offshore wind have completely disappeared. Those countries choose sites and even offer grid hookups in some cases, greatly reducing the cost compared to other places like the UK, where developers need to do their own prospecting for sites. The Netherlands would be the first country to treat power generation by wind like any other conventional energy source. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
Thank you, Bob. Futures contracts pointing to a lower open on Wall Street this morning. S&P futures down 12, Dow futures down 98, NASDAQ futures down 45 points. This is Daybreak. Coming up, the Bloomberg Morning Call brought to you by Columbia Bank. With 48 locations across New Jersey, you're never far from their wide range of banking solutions. From personal to business banking, mobile and online, you can always count on Columbia. Visit ColumbiaBankOnline.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Futures this morning are lower. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Ken. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure right now. Dow futures down 99 points. S&P's dropped 13. And NASDAQ futures declined by 45. The U.S. 10-year yield jumps to 3.21%. Oil is lower. And Hong Kong fell 1.7% overnight. Well, European markets are also under pressure, led by 1% declines in the U.K. and France. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, initial jobs claims. And at 10 o'clock, factory orders and durable goods orders. After the bell last night, HP Inc. gave an upbeat 2019 forecast based on strong PC demand, and Cloudera and Hortonworks announced a stock merger of equals. Regarding earnings this morning, look for a Constellation Brands to report around 7:30. And in deal news, Barnes & Noble to consider a sale. Shares are up 25% in the pre-market. In other news, semiconductor estimates were trimmed on cyclical concerns over at Deutsche Bank. And wrapping things up, AMC Networks was downgraded to sell over at Goldman Sachs, and Cummins was upgraded to overweight over at Piper. Live from the First Republic News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by USCF. Invest in what's real. Visit USCFinvestments.com. That's USCFinvestments.com. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. The White House has received the FBI background probe into Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. And the report has been sent to the Senate, where the Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is moving ahead with a procedural vote for tomorrow. Vice President Pence will accuse China of meddling in the 2018 U.S. elections through a campaign of propaganda, spies, tariffs, and coercive measures. This, according to excerpts of a speech, is scheduled to give later today. And life is on hold for thousands living in tents and shelters in the Indonesian city hit by a powerful earthquake and tsunami. Indonesia's disaster agency says the death toll now stands at 1,424. American Express is ratcheting up the rewards for premium credit card customers again. Holders of the Amex Gold Card will now get 4 points per dollar spent at U.S. restaurants and supermarkets, up from 2 points currently. Sports. Yankees face Boston tomorrow after their win over the A's in the wild card game. And on the ice, the Bruins lose to the Capitals. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Or John, put in another context, the Capitals crushed the Bruins last night as we head into
regional bias.
Talking about what's
there.
Going on in D.C. as we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the FBI completing its report on Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh as Senate Republicans now tee up a make or break test vote tomorrow. Vice President Pence delivers a speech today accusing China of meddling in the midterm election through propaganda, spies, and tariffs. The Transportation Department lays out a plan for self-driving cars. It's expected to disavow 10 Obama-era testing grounds. Also making news this morning, our exclusive report on Bloomberg Businessweek, that Chinese hacking chips were implanted at one of the world's largest motherboard suppliers, potentially compromising nearly 30 companies. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins us now. And Kate, our reporting says Apple and Amazon are among those companies affected. And when you're talking about a company that supplies many of the motherboards around the world, this could have huge implications, not just for the corporate sector, but for U.S. government.
Yeah, as our story says, apparently, you know, this revelation sent a shudder through the intelligence community because, you know, everything from the Defense Department to various other departments and sectors of the U.S. government get supplied by, you know, Amazon and some of these other companies. So I think, you know, the implication there is pretty clear. And the concern is, you know, what if any access or what if any information was accessed inappropriately?
Yeah, and because President Trump has long accused China, and I mean, other administrations have accused China of intellectual property theft. And when you have the president going hard after China on trade, this could put it at a whole new level.
That's right. And, you know, also keep in mind, there have just this week been some, you know, kind of standoff between the U.S. and China militarily in the South China Sea. There was a bit of a incident earlier this week where two ships came very close to each other, and that prompted some harsh words or exchange of words between Beijing and Washington. So I think what we're seeing now is on, you know, several different fronts, you know, the escalating of tensions, which I think has people really concerned because we're talking about the world's two biggest economies here. And I think that there is this kind of growing fear that we could be heading into a sort of new Cold War type situation between the U.S. and China, because there's, you know, it's not just limited to trade anymore. There's these escalating tensions on multiple fronts.
Yeah, it's going to make it all the more interesting as we hear from Vice President Mike Pence, who, as we've been reporting, is going to make a speech at the Hudson Institute later this morning, talking about what the administration says is a coordinated Chinese effort to meddle in the 2018 midterm elections. But let's move on to something else with potential midterm implications. The ramp up of Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation. The Senate now has that FBI report in its hands. And I guess the question is, what's in it?
Well, that's what we're all, I think, pretty eager to find out. The White House is certainly trying to get ahead of the report with its statement this morning, and that statement expressed confidence that the Senate would move quickly to confirm Kavanaugh, and also, you know, basically called the investigation the last stage in what they termed as, you know, the most extensive background check in history of a Supreme Court nominee. Whether or not that's totally accurate, we're hearing from the other side that there are complaints already about the scope of the investigation. But I think that, you know, the White House's statement certainly expressing confidence, I think, is sort of the next plank in this Republican effort to move quickly now that the FBI probe is basically over to get a confirmation vote. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has set up a test vote for tomorrow. If that prevails, then they would have a final vote on Saturday, most likely. And, you know, that's just 2 days from now. So this could all be over pretty quickly.
Yeah, and ahead of that test vote, Senate Judiciary Chairman Chuck Grassley apparently has agreed with the ranking Democrat Dianne Feinstein to sort of set up this back and forth where senators are going to go into this room, secure a room, look at the report one by one. It's going to be very interesting to hear from those senators once they come out of that room and get their reactions.
Absolutely. I'm sure there'll be a big line of reporters waiting to talk to them. But I think that, you know, it's a bit of an odd system that they've set up to handle this. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of public clamoring for the release of the report, which I'm sure a lot of folks are very eager to see. And I'm curious how long it will take for it to leak out. I would expect that it probably will at some point.
Yeah, and I'm curious certainly to hear from those key swing senators we've been looking at throughout this confirmation process, not the least of whom is Arizona's Jeff Flake.
Definitely. So those folks, you know, we're really talking about kind of Joe Manchin, who's a Democrat, who's been a bit wobbly on this because he's up for a tough reelection in West Virginia. And then three Republicans, Susan Collins of Maine, Jeff Flake, who you mentioned of Arizona, who's the one that essentially forced this renewed FBI investigation because he threatened to vote against Kavanaugh last week, and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. So how I've been thinking about it is, you know, those names that we just talked about, they're going to essentially be the most powerful people in Washington for the next couple days.
A lot to watch as we head into the rest of this week. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, always good to have you on. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. A reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. Tune into Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. It is 6:56 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Chuck Schumer is floating the idea of bringing back the filibuster for Supreme Court nominations if Democrats regain a Senate majority. He's doing what congressional leaders do, managing an unruly caucus of politicians. If Schumer tries to blockade a Supreme Court nominee, he risks breaking apart his party. Restoring a 60-vote cloture would make things a lot easier. In other words, reinstating a supermajority during a period of divided government would be ruthless partisanship. And if Democrats have unified government after 2020, they can always remove the filibuster. Ending the judiciary wars may require a constitutional amendment. Replacing lifetime appointments to the Supreme Court with staggered 18-year terms might lower the stakes. Add to that a mechanism to give incentives for compromise during times of divided government. The U.S. political system is supposed to have incentives for deliberation, bargaining, and compromise. But until we devise a new system for nominations, we're just going to have more ruthless partisanship from Mitch McConnell, Chuck Schumer, and everyone else. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or O-P-I-N-GO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. We continue to watch Treasury yields this morning. The benchmark U.S. Treasury yield rising to the highest since 2011 with 10-year Treasury. Right now, down 9/32, the yield 3.21%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.88%. And the 30-year yield at 3.37%. Futures lower. S&P futures down about 12 points. Dow futures down 89. NASDAQ futures down 43. The DAX in Germany is down 0.2%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.1% or 9 cents at $76.32 a barrel. And coming up, Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.